Public Media, I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason on this Friday morning to take a look at the numbers as they've been trading in Chicago at the CME Group since the open at 8:30 this morning. Futures are now trading the corn pit just about unchanged, soybeans in the same way. Nearby, up 3/4 in the deferred contract or the new crop November, they're down 2 3/4. Cattle futures are down 70 cents for the day. Feeder cattle down about 85, and the hogs are off just a nickel for the day. Wheat futures are up 8 in the hard red and up just a penny in the soft red. Speaking of which, soft red winter wheat and hard red winter wheat being harvested across the nation. In the soft red winter wheat growing regions and hard red as well, they're finding vomitoxin or DON. There is something producers might consider doing, and this comes from the University of Illinois plant pathologist Carl Bradley via the Ohio State University. You can blow that wheat out the back, that is light and bad test weight. If you want, adjust your combine settings so the RPM on the fan is 1,375 to 1,475 RPMs, and that your gap is about 90 millimeters or 3.5 inches. You can find that online at the Bulletin website. Search Bulletin and Illinois.edu, and you'll find the University of Illinois Bulletin. You're going to look for Carl Bradley's article, which has been posted there about soft red winter wheat and wheat scab. The national average basis for corn down a penny overnight at 17 cents under the September contract. The national corn index up 2 cents at $4.22. The national average basis for beans was up a penny at 29 cents over the August futures, and the soybean index up 21 cents. It traded at $14.10 on the cash price.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Now here is meteorologist Drew Lerner with an update of today's weather forecast.
Today, the Midwest forecast is still looking very good. A lot of people have attention to the higher heights that are being advertised in the second week of the two-week forecast and some ridginess that seems to be on the models here. But if you step back and look at the big picture, most of this is really not all that unusual for the first week in July. And it looks as though the model, even though has higher heights, it also suggests, though, that there's going to be an opportunity for some cooling to occur periodically as a cool front or two moves across the region and will set off a few showers and thunderstorms in the Midwest, even though the precipitation will probably be somewhat lighter biased than what we've been seeing in recent weeks, and this is going to be pertaining more so to the latter part of next week and on into the period from the 5th through the 12th of July. But during that period of time, we'll still see a couple of frontal systems that will pass through the Midwest offering some shower activity and still maintaining a favorable environment, even though we'll still see some drying take place in the topsoil. And that's not unusual for early July. The key is keeping the temperatures from getting excessively warm and still offering enough precipitation periodically to assure that the subsoil moisture is conserved as we move closer to pollination. Well, the specifics of the near-term forecast are still as they were yesterday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms will occur in many areas across the Midwest as we move forward through this weekend. I think that the precipitation in the eastern parts of the Midwest will probably be lightest, and some areas will not do very well, and we'll already be seeing some of that net drying starting to occur. Rain totals by this time next week will only run a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to 3/4 inch in some of the eastern Midwest. This includes parts of Ohio and Indiana, and then the closer you get to the Mississippi River, the greater the rainfall may become. Northwestern Illinois, parts of northwestern Indiana, and some areas in Michigan, especially western Michigan, will probably see some greater amounts of rainfall running more in the line of a half inch to an inch, with some local amounts upwards to an inch and a half. We do expect some heavier rains to occur in parts of Iowa and portions of Wisconsin, where we'll see some 1 to 2 inch rains over the coming weekend into Monday. And we'll also see some scattering of showers and thunderstorms across portions of the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota, where we'll see totals running anywhere from a half inch to about an inch and a half. path and all that will be associated with this very large upper-level low-pressure center that is expected to evolve across the eastern parts of the Canadian prairies. And that frontal boundary that's associated with that deep upper-level low will move through most of the Midwest over the weekend into early next week. And as it does, it'll bring some cooler air southward, and we'll likely see some high temperatures backing into the 70s across the northern parts of the Midwest, with lower 80s in the southern areas, and the coolest weather will be present during the middle to latter part of next week. We will see a quick warm-up, though, and temperatures will bounce back into the 80s and even some lower to a few middle 90s before the next frontal system pushes through the region, and all that will occur in the second weekend of the two-week outlook, and we'll see more shower activity, bringing a little bit of relief to whatever drying occurs during the middle to latter part of next week. For the most part, the Midwest weather forecast continues to look very good for the majority of key U.S. corn and soybean production areas, and it's not just confined to the Midwest. It's true for the Delta and the southeastern states, and also the portions of the plains. Some of the central U.S. hard red winter wheat country will see some additional scattered showers over the coming week, but the risk to the crop there looks to be much less than it has been, at least as far as the quality of the crop is concerned. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks, of course, go to Drew Lerner for his daily updates of the growing region's weather forecast across the planet. Now let's take a look at the numbers as they're trading in Chicago. Corn futures are down a quarter at $4.42.5 in the July. December at $4.43.5, up a quarter. July soybeans at $14.36.75, a quarter of a cent lower. The November futures there, $12.39.25, down 5 cents. Bean meal up $1.40. Bean oil down 29 cents. August live cattle 47.5 cents lower on the last tick. August feeders at 45 cents. Lower, and the lean hogs are down a nickel for the day. July soft red winter wheat up a penny at 583 and a quarter, and the hard red at 728, up 7 cents. On the phone line to take a look at these numbers and how the trade might move through the rest of the day is Bill Mayer. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning to you, Bill.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, let's see. We've got reports due out on Monday, so not very far away now. Will it be a light trade day today on a Friday?
Yeah, I think we could see some volatility. I think it'd probably be lower volume, but I think it's kind of a positioning day. I think everybody's kind of wanting to get set up and be in the position they want to be in as far as the reports coming out on Monday. They, of course, nowadays have that extra few hours Monday morning to do some of that, but most people, I think, going home for the weekend would like to be positioned. A lot of talk here this morning, it seems like, about some of the acreage part of it. And I know there's a report out by DuPont where they had higher than expected seed bean sales and lower than expected corn seed sales. I don't know if they did that on purpose or just a coincidence, but I think that's kind of the, you know, I think that's kind of what the trade's thinking here, that we could see an increase in bean acres pretty substantial, maybe.
Yeah, for those who are listeners that don't know, DuPont, of course, owns Pioneer Hybrid Seeds, one of the largest seed varieties and dealers on the planet. So it might be interesting to watch and see.
I think it was just one of their regular reports that they put out every year, actually. But
yeah, I'm sure it was, and not intentioned, likely, to have any impact. But it does come out, and you suppose those acres would be mostly in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt because they were so very delayed?
Yeah, I think, and we're seeing that, Todd. We're seeing in the Minnesota area some differences this year compared to a year ago as far as the ability to switch the soybeans. And, you know, last year maybe the it was later and wetter, and maybe they had the, you know, prevent plant was about their only choice. So I think we are kind of seeing that. I don't have any, you know, stats to say specifically, but just, you know, incidental what we see as far as our clients go.
I think maybe that may very well be the case. We'll find out, I suppose, on Monday when the acreage numbers do come out from the USDA. Those are due out at 11 o'clock. Farmers, do you suppose, should just stand aside now and wait that out and see what happens?
Well, I think so. If they've, you know, if they've made some moves, if they've got marketing done on the 2015 crop, I think they should stand aside. If they haven't done anything, I think they probably, especially on the beans, I would probably take advantage of these levels. I mean, most areas here that you have listeners, you can probably get over $12 cash still for beans, and I don't think that's a bad place to put some position on if you haven't done anything yet.
What do you hear about soft red winter wheat harvest in southern Illinois? Underway now.
Yep, underway. I think we talked last week a little bit about some vomitoxin issues. That seems like that's, you know, kind of staying with it, but the, you know, farmers in the elevator are trying to deal with it. There's some pretty big discounts. The farmers have to be a little bit careful where they go and, you know, what the discounts are. But other than that, I mean, good yields, it sounds like.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk with you again next Friday.
Yep. Thanks, Todd.
That is Bill Mayer. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign County. Talks to us on Friday mornings to take a look at the markets. We'll be back in another hour. We'll talk about the markets again. That time we'll discuss those with Michael, and we'll take that up at about 10 minutes till the hour. Of course, you are listening to WILL AM 580, top of the hour now time at 9 o'clock Central Time. WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana is where you're tuned. Find us online at will.illinois.edu, or if you're looking for ag programming, at willag.org. That's willag.org. Can't find us online, can't listen to us on a radio station for some reason. Looking for the ag programming, you can always listen to it after the fact at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day. We update voicemail. The number is 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's just 217-333-3434. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.